Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Jacob Russey. Jacob is the owner of Humboldt Regeneration Brewery and Farm. Now, let's talk about beer growing in Humboldt County. What parts of the beer do you actually grow in Humboldt County?
Well, we try to grow all of it. We've kind of focused on the grains the first few years because that takes up, you know, most of the ingredients, up to 99% of most beer styles are the barley and wheat and stuff. So we've been focusing on that. We do have some different varieties of hops that we're growing, though, and they just take a few years to establish. So it'll be a couple more seasons where we have really big amounts of the hops. But we try to use them in an all Humboldt beer each year now that we've gotten closer to that. And then we spread out the rest of the ingredients into our roasted grains and all that stuff.
Now, you got recognition just recently as being the first California-grown and produced beer since Prohibition. What sort of impact did Prohibition have on beer making in California?
Well, after Prohibition, basically the only guys that were left were the really big breweries, and there was actually different legislation that kind of helped keep them in business, and small breweries couldn't start up. That's kind of why you didn't see the craft beer scene till later on after, you know, home brewing and stuff was legalized. So before that, things were just a lot more localized. Like a lot of our agricultural industries, people were using local ingredients. We didn't have energy or as many means to ship things as far, so it was common to have, you know, locally grown grain and local malting facilities, including in Humboldt.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, whenever you see images of wheat or barley, it's these gigantic fields that have these huge combines that are going through them, and it's probably like a quarter mile till they get to the end to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have land like that in Humboldt County to grow those sorts of grains. So it seems like kind of a limiting factor. Probably different equipment, too.
Yeah, it's all scale, you know. For the scale that we're on, we, for one, do a lot of stuff by hand. We use scythes and stuff still, but we also, just this year, finally got an old combine running that we've had for a couple of years. It's a 1949 John Deere, but it's pretty small. It's only about an 8-foot cut, so smaller equipment like that is not really common anymore just because of, you know, large-scale industrialized agriculture system, so everything is on an enormous scale. So doing smaller grain production is kind of uncommon nowadays, but there is a bit of a resurgence. There's some other folks growing grains around Humboldt and then up the coast of California and stuff.
I think even like back in the Central Valley, I mean, I think there are new people coming along. I met the wheat commissioner a couple of years ago, and she was talking about that there were people that were growing wheat in California, but you think about it being kind of, you know, in the plains area,
mm-hmm.
and large scale. Now, you got to meet some of the other people that were involved in grain growing, Lisa and Lawrence Hindley. Tell me about how you hooked up with them.
Yeah, early on when I started, we're lucky to link up with the North Coast Grain Growers Guild. It's just mostly an internet network and kind of a support network of small grain farmers, bakers, now brewer and maltsters. And it's all the way up the coast. Some of the folks are as far down as, I think, even Santa Cruz. And, you know, there's some farmers around the Bay Area, Lake County, Humboldt, Mendocino County. So we just trade information. That's where I was able to link up through the Hindleys. We actually still use some of their grain. We use their wheat in some of our wheat beers. And then one of the guys that we've learned from early on, too, John Laboito, he's another local small grain farmer. Then Shake Fork Farm, of course. I've known them for a long time. They're great.
Great. Now, you have a place, so you have a farm, and you also have an orchard on that farm,
mm-hmm.
and you have some apple trees growing, and you've used some of those apples in some of your blends, like the Funky Berlin Apple. How did that get its name?
The style's a Berliner Weiss, so that's where the Berlin comes from. They're a style of sour mash beers they do in Germany, so they're not live sours like a Belgian beer. So they're real low alcohol, light tart beers that they serve in the summertime. So this one has some of our apples from the farm. We're in McKinleyville now. Our first 2 years we were in Alton, and then this was our second harvest this year in McKinleyville. So that one, it's just a real light. The apple characters are pretty subtle. It's kind of like a watered-down carbonated lemonade or something.
Oh, okay.
It's a strange style. You don't see them a whole lot over here.
Uh-huh. And is it really different from, like, a hard cider?
A little bit. It'd be, you know, lighter flavors, not as much alcohol character and stuff like that. More subtlety.
There's some other ingredients that you use that seem like they must be locally produced. Pumpkin. You did a pumpkin beer.
Mm-hmm. That was pumpkins from our farm, and we actually smoked them with some of our malt. And instead of spices, I used the smoky character on the pumpkin. And then our house Belgian yeast is a yeast blend that has a bit of a spice character just from the yeast production.
I noticed that when you described it, you said, okay, if you're tired of these pumpkin blends that taste like, you know, probably cinnamon and, you know, those sorts of spices, that this is going to be different. You're really going to be able to taste the pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like flavored beers as much. I like more, subtle, complex characters and stuff. So
yeah.
Kind of fun.
And then you're also using some herbs in your beer.
Mm-hmm.
How does that flavor come through?
There's a group of beers. The style is called either a Groot or a Gruet. They're old style ales that were brewed in the old days before hops were common. So brewers would just use herbs that grew in their area to help bitter the beer and to help preserve them. So we've tried a few different Gruets so far and kind of testing the waters. They're strange, so you know. But there's one I've repeated a few times that seems popular. It has some grapes from my buddy's vineyard and then some thyme from our farm. So it's kind of light, refreshing. It's a red color beer with some nice fruit character.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting to be able to use grapes in a beer. I mean, you always think of that being a wine thing, but and is it a byproduct of the winemaking or?
No, it's basically the raw ingredient for the wine. Like he'll save me it's called the must. It's the mashed up grapes.
Okay.
When he starts the process during crush each year. So he'll just save a little bit for me. They have an organic vineyard down there. He's my best friend from growing up. So we decided a couple years ago to try to do this wine-beer blend just as a collaboration. So it's been fun.
That's nice. Now, on your Facebook page, you were talking about sour taps. And is there like a new trend towards sour beers? Or is that something that's maybe an old thing that has been happening for a while and I'm just not aware of it?
kind of both. Sour beers were the original beers just because in the old days, they didn't really know about sanitation and things like that. So oftentimes, beers would just naturally sour from the, you know, native microbes in the air wherever they're making their beer. But nowadays, with the growing microbrewery movement, it seems like sours are definitely gaining a lot of popularity. So, and I like them. They take longer to make. They're a little more complex. They can go in a lot of directions. So the plan this year is to kind of step up the sours a little bit in the tasting rooms. We fill growlers under pressure on a bottling machine. So I just added 2 sour taps to that. And then we got a few others for in-house tasting.
Okay. How do you come up with your names for your beers? I'm just very intrigued by some of the fun names that you have.
a lot of times they're beer puns, like beer geek jokes. And then our Blasphemy line is our Belgian line. I tell people it's blasphemy in the beer world to mix styles. A lot of brewers are really traditional, so if they did a Belgian beer, they do like a Belgian-style triple or double, you know. Sometimes we'll do like American-style beers, but with a Belgian yeast, so it's kind of mixing styles.
Okay.
So I kind of just... Okay. A lot of beer jokes.
If people come to your, it's a community supported brewery, but if they aren't a member, can they still buy beer?
Yeah, definitely. We have 15 beers to taste in-house that change pretty often. So we do flights and you can get, you know, glasses and stuff for in-house. And then the growlers also change weekly for the members, but they're also available to the general public. It's just the, you know, if you become a member, you just save a little bit from the upfront costs, and then, you know, you're part of the program, you get a lot of feedback and stuff, so.
Right, yeah. Where is your business located?
It's at the north end of town in McKinleyville off Central Avenue, and it's behind AAA Storage, the back corner of the warehouse back there. It's a big blue warehouse.
And what does your sign say?
Oh, we have a yellow beer to go sign.
Beer
that's like our tasting room sign. So if we're open,
that's
out
there. I know, it's like a drive through beer to go.
Yeah. It's an antique sign a friend got me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I noticed that there's a lot of beer events in Humboldt County. Do you think that people in Humboldt County have a better appreciation of craft beer? It just seems like there's so many people who make beer and are involved in the beer industry, and then there are so many beer events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does seem like there's a lot of support up here for, you know, brewing and craft beer. I've also heard from, you know, beer tourists coming through the brewery that Humboldt's actually getting a bit of a name for having good craft beer, especially for being such a rural area. So that's kind of cool. We're on the beer map.
Yeah, on the beer map. Is there a place that people would look, like if you're traveling to a place, to see what they've got going on in the beer world?
You know, there's a lot of those type of things out there. I don't know about all of them, but there's, you know, digital beer maps online. There's things that are kind of like Yelp, but for beer specifically. There's one that's Untappd, I know, is really popular. So ways of like tracking beer and finding breweries.
Okay. Well, this is great. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Jacob Pressey from Humboldt Regeneration Brewery and Farm. Thank you, Jacob.
Yeah, thank you.
Right chips and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.